Amen. Please turn to Mark chapter 1 tonight. Mark chapter 1. As we consider the powerful witness of John the Baptist. The powerful witness of John the Baptist. We have tagged this book as the Go Gospel Motion. Jesus is moving. Jesus is doing miracles. Great things are happening, but as the book starts, we have that one who prepares the way of the Lord, and he is a powerful, powerful witness, John the Baptist. Let's pray and ask God's help and his direction tonight. Father, we thank you and give you praise. Thank you for the salvation of souls, the increase of kids on the bus, great things that you're doing. Answering prayers. And we ask, Lord, that we would see this over and over and over and never get tired of it, but release the fact that we have a God who answers prayer. Lord, may we always be now a praying church, serious about that ministry, looking for you to do great and mighty things in the hearts and lives of multitudes of people and us right here as we seek to serve you in these days. We ask your direction, your divine help as we proceed now through the book of Mark. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message tonight. I trust and depend in you to bring it and not in myself. We want to hear from our great God tonight. Please come in power and glory. Minister to our hearts. We pray that you would speak. May we be open. And may we glean some great truths. Some things are going to help us in our life of service for you in this upcoming week. We commit it now to you. Look forward to what you will do in all of our lives tonight. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. By way of introduction tonight, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of the book of Mark, chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, and these are the words of the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, there are many great scenes from church history. Many scenes that I would love to have been there to see. Some of those would be something like Martin Luther when he nailed the 95 Theses to the castle door. That would have been a great thing to see. He was some guy. And then there was John Knox who stood up to Queen Mary. Stood up. Hugh Latimer, who preached in the presence of King Henry VIII a very scathing message. And he was commanded to come back next week and preach again and give an apology for what he had just said. And so he came back the next week and he preached the very same message again with more power and more enthusiasm. I'd have loved to have seen that. I would have loved to have been in Philadelphia the day that God cut the Presbyterian Church and caved it in when they padlocked it and would not allow the preacher and his congregation to meet there anymore because they were not going to go along with the apostasy. All kinds of wonderful, wonderful things. And then there's Martin Luther again on April the 18th, 1521, who stood against kings and queens and religionists of the earth. And he said, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. Brave man. I forget the name of the guy that he had a protector that watched over Martin Luther and did not allow him to be executed because that's what they wanted to do with him, as you remember church history. You know, it would have also been great to see the revitalized Apostle Peter, who went from sleeper in the Garden of Gethsemane to mighty preacher, and 3,000 people come to know Jesus as their Savior. But then we come to the one tonight, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, this is huge. For Jesus said in Luke 7:28, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist." Now that is saying something, and those words coming from the lips of our Savior about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the herald. He was the primary witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He was the forerunner. And in the book of Mark, as we begin his gospel, we see that John the Baptist is front page news. He's all over it in the beginning verses of this great gospel of Mark. He quotes Old Testament prophetic words from Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The other three gospels also splash front page news about John the Baptist. Many times one or so gospels will not include the same thing that others did. They all got in on this one. It was all front page news in all four gospels. Why? Why was John the Baptist so effective? Well, the answer is going to help us in our inner desire to be like the apostles, and that is to be fishers of men. What believer in their heart of hearts does not want to be a fisher of men? What kind of a believer would not want to win anyone to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we can learn from John the Baptist. Our first point tonight, the character of John the Baptist. The character of John the Baptist. Verse number 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Now that's doesn't sound like the guy you want to be have for your best friend, does it? This guy that looks totally different from anybody else, and his diet, well, I don't know about that. All right, he was a fast food kind of guy. That's what he did. And he would catch a few grasshoppers, and then he would stop by the local beehive, and that was it. And he was done, and he was moving on. His robe was of the poorest kind, and his belt a mere strip of leather. But he knew what he was doing, and there was teaching in everything that he said and everywhere that he went. His dress was kind of like Elisha, the great prophet who called Israel to repentance. His dress and his lifestyle were a protest against the godlessness and self-serving materialism of those that he lived around. It was a call to separate oneself from the sinful culture. That's what he was all about. It was a call to repent. It was a call to live a life that was focused on God. So living out in the desert emphasized this. As Israel went to the wilderness from Egypt, we're seeing some redos here in the life of Israel and the life of John the Baptist. And even the people coming out into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach was a subtle acknowledgement of Israel's history of disobedience and rebellion, and with a desire to start over. How many times in Israel's history did they start over? I don't even know, but it was a lot. You just read the book of Judges, and you can add up a lot of them right there. So John's life and his actions were a powerful demonstration of what and who he was. His life was a life of continual repentance and uncompromising devotion to God. And that is where we need to live today as well. He was fearless in his proclamation of his message. No one shut him down. It didn't matter who was there, he would address them. He addressed the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said to them, "O generation of vipers, you slick, slimy snakes, what you guys need to do is bring forth fruits for repentance." That's what you need to do. He preached on giving in Luke 3:11. He preached to tax collectors in Luke 3:13. He said, "You guys need to be fair. Be fair. They need to be fair at the gas pumps." You realize how much tax you're paying on every gallon of gas? I remember 27 cents a gallon. Some of you remember cheaper than that. In the good old days. And we recently got a 12 cent. Be fair, he preached. He preached to the soldiers, be content and be under control. He preached to everybody. I mean, nobody got missed. He was on everybody. Proverbs 29 and verse 25 says, remember, he's fearless. And the Bible says there, "The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." John was fearless. He was self-forgetting. He was not thinking about himself. He was a very, very humble man as well. And so, when Jesus' fame starts, John's disciples come to him and say, "Hey, John! He said, this Jesus is getting all the front page news now. You're not getting it anymore. What's up with that?" And so what does John say to them? He said, "I told you that I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ." Jesus says, "He must increase and I must decrease." That was his answer. John was such an effective witness because he embodied his message. He embodied his message. When a Christian preaches or a Christian teaches or a Christian is sharing with someone on the street, that message must be given in such a way that the listener knows that the messenger believes what he's saying. And that was John the Baptist. And we need to be, as we pray, we need to pray that we will be like that. That when we talk to people about Christ, it is not going to be sheepish. It's not going to be, "Well, this is what I need to tell you." We need to be bold with it. We need, and whatever the situation calls for. And they need to understand that we believe what we're saying to them. They need to believe that and know it. That was John the Baptist. That can be us. He preached the message and he was the message. He was saturated with the message and it dominated his life. Christ must dominate our life as well. The message was true in his life and that gave him great power, and it will do the same for you here tonight. It will give you great power. We've been emphasizing prayer. Here's how it works. You pray for an hour a day. You beg God to make you a dynamic fisher of men. You get filled with the Spirit and you know your salvation verses so well. They just flow out of your mouth. Then when you speak, your words will penetrate the hearts of those who listen to you. It's coming from a sincere heart, and they will know that you believe what you're saying. Remember the old story about George Whitefield, the great preacher who could speak for, and the people would gather, and he could reach 10,000 people with his voice, no microphone needed. And that famous wealthy man went to hear him. And our guy said, "I can't believe you're going to hear Whitefield. You don't believe in what he's saying." He said, "Yeah, I don't believe it, but he does." And he'd go to hear him just because he knew that when Whitefield spoke, Whitefield believed what he was preaching. When we talk to people, they need to believe we believe what we're saying. It's the same thing. We must ask God to make our life a demonstration of the truth that we are sharing with these people. Secondly, tonight, point number two, the nature of John's message. The nature of John's message, verses 4 through 8. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." So the nature of John's message, first of all, John's message was one of baptism and repentance. Baptism and repentance. This was a totally radical concept that he was doing out there in wilderness. He was baptizing people in the River Jordan. This never happened before. This never happened before. This is new. The Israelites, they never saw this before. They never did it before. No one else had ever done it before. The Jews were now being asked to do something they've never done in their history. Getting baptized. Unheard of. This is why John was called the Baptizer. John the Baptizer. That's why they called him that. He was doing this. Nobody else ever did that. They had never seen anyone like him before. Second, his baptism was focused on repentance from sin. Repentance from sin. He was out in the wilderness. The biblical concept of repentance was deeply rooted in the wilderness tradition. The Jews knew why they were coming out into the wilderness. They knew why they were there. John sat them down and preached to them on their sin. There would be hundreds and thousands of people seated along the Jordan River, listening to John get in their face about their sin. And he named names, and he called for social justice, and he called for repentance. And he just drawn out there to the wilderness. And there were endless lines of people who were getting baptized in the Jordan River as a sign of their true repentance from their sins. Now that would be something to see. That would be something to see. Third, John's preaching was a divine gift. His preaching was a divine gift. The preaching on sin and judgment is grossly lacking in America today. Grossly lacking today. There is grace in such preaching because people's hearts are awakened to their sin and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was no preaching on that, there would be no salvation. There has to be preaching on sin. The divine and proper preparation for the gospel of Jesus Christ is preaching about sin. John prepared the way of the Lord by preaching on sin. Repentance. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached and that we studied extensively is a perfect example, for Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn over their sin, for they shall be comforted." I'll never forget learning that. All my life I'm thinking, oh, he's talking, blessed are those who mourn over the dead, those who mourn over this, who mourn over... No, it's mourning over sin. Mourning over sin, getting mad at my sin, understanding my sin, confessing my sin. Blessed are those that do that. Fourth, the baptism of repentance for sin was the first part of the message. The first part of the message. The second part was, there is one coming mightier than me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm baptizing you on the outside. He will baptize you on the inside. He will change your heart. The Holy Spirit permeates every part of us as believers if we will allow Him to do that, if we will surrender to Him, if we allow the Holy Spirit to pin us to the wrestling mat and we just give it up and let Him have charge of our lives. You know, how many folks really do that today? How many folks really surrender to Christ? Totally. How many have so many areas of their lives they say, I'm not giving this up. I'm going to hold on to this till the day that I die. I'm not giving that up. I'm not changing this. That's just the way I am. I've heard people say that a lot over my lifetime. Well, that's just the way I am. You know, God has to understand. Yeah, He understands. He understands you're not surrendering. He understands that. He knows that. Give it up. The Holy Spirit has got to have all of us. We have to give in. Let Him have it. When God drenches your life with His, you will be changed. Very important statement. When God drenches your life with His, you are changed. It is believed that as many as 300,000 souls were baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan River. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Now, we read it. It said all the people came. All. It says all. That's a lot of people. 300,000 or so. Went to the wilderness and to the river and were baptized, confessing their sins. That's powerful. Thousands at a time. John's life, his message, his passion, and his preaching made him the greatest witness in history. He was the forerunner of Christ. He prepared the way of the Lord indeed. It was a powerful ministry. And he did it. He prepared the way of the Lord. He baptizes 300,000 souls, but the crowning jewel was the day he baptized Christ. Christ didn't need to be baptized, did he? He was already perfect. There was no sin to confess. But he went and he submitted to that. We are to be like John the Baptist in character, in life, and in message. I'm not saying we're supposed to wear a piece of leather and all that. And I'm not telling you go to the beehive every day and find some grasshoppers. That's not the deal. We are to be like him in his character and his life and the message that he preached. When he preached, the people knew he meant what he was saying. He believed it. People have to have the same thing. Understand that about us. As we as a church grab a hold of this ministry of prayer, pray hard, pray consistently, don't give it up. We will become like John, and we will become like Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight for the life of John the Baptist, the great forerunner of the Lord Jesus, who also did not live that long in his life, but what an impact and effect he had in his short life. Fearless man of God, sold out, surrendered totally. People understood that he believed what he was preaching. Father, may we be like John and like Jesus. Help us to do it right now and tomorrow and every day after that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.